Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hello, everyone. Thanks for joining us.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story, and I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
The 2020 season didn't end the way the Texans were hoping. Following the hire of general manager Nick Caserio, the Texans shifted focus to finding the franchise's fourth head coach.
And now all of a sudden he's inheriting a really crappy situation with issues in management with Cal McNair, with Keith Easterby still there.
Well, I would hope that an NFL general manager in Jack Easterby as well as Nick Corsi.
Sports Radio 610 presents former NFL quarterback Clint Sterner and Ron the Show Hughley. It's Clint Sterner and the Show.
Yes, Clint Sterner is out. He is on his honeymoon, but in is, you know who it is, 12-year NFL vet, former Pro Bowler, former Houston Texan, Wade Smith. And Wade, stop! Cut the music! Cut it! Cut the damn music, Stacey. Cut it. All right, listen. Consider myself a man. Man that can state when he's right or when he's wrong. I'm not afraid to apologize, although my wife would say different, but I'm not afraid to admit when I'm wrong. Earlier, last night, I want to put a little bit of this blame on Wade Smith because he did send it to me quickly. Wade Smith, not 38 minutes after we left the studio, sent me a clip of this cut. On the what is this, Building a Texan, this new web show they have?
Building the Texans.
Yeah, Building the Texans. Beautifully done, mostly. But they send this, Wade sends this to me and said, they got you, dog.
You got a head coach and a general manager opening here.
I think this is a great hire by the Houston Texans.
Texans expected to hire David Culley.
He deserves it. All right, that I swear before God, he sent that to me. And I said, oh, my God, they done took something I said out of context. He deserves it. I swear before God, that sound like me. But it is not me. Wait, it is Keyshawn Johnson. He is the one who said that ridiculousness, not me. It is Keyshawn Johnson who said that. And I lost it just a smidge earlier on in the loop. And hit that radio.com rewind and listen back to that. I lost it just a little bit and demanded an apology from the Texans. Well, the Texans, they did not splice my words in there out of context because that was not me. That was Keyshawn Johnson. So I apologize to the Texans for that. I'm a man of my word. Now, I would like to hear it one more time. You all listen to my fat ass 4 hours a day. Check that. I'm slimming down
now.
You're
about 248 now.
Yeah, I'm 248. You know, but you listen to me. Listen to this again. Who didn't think that was me? Who didn't think that was me? Play it again.
You got a head coach and a general manager opening here.
I think this is a great hire by the Houston Texans.
Texans expected to hire David Culley.
He deserves it. In fairness, Wade obviously thought it was me. He sent it to me.
No question. Listen.
In fairness, that sounds like me, right?
I get home. You know, we did a show. We get to the house. I see something pop across my screen. So, let me check this out, Building the Texans. What this all about? And I listen. I hear Sean Pendergast talking a little bit, and then I hear at the end, he deserves it.
He deserves
it. And I said, wait a damn minute. I just spent the last 4 hours with Ron, this whole week with Ron, and every time David Culley's name comes up, he's giving him the business.
32nd rated hot head coach in football.
I said, yo, they got him. Laughing my ass off. That was the text.
Yes, it was.
Verbatim. Yo, they got you.
And I
laughing
felt
my
that.
Ass
yo,
off.
I felt it. It was it.
Thank you very much.
And I said, that's what you get. Because you've been on his head for the longest.
And I've just been on his head. I've just been honest about my assessment of David Culley.
But I'm not the only one that felt that way.
Oh, I got tweeted.
You got tweets?
At me. Yes. People have been talking about I'm a double agent.
They got you.
That sounded, I'm just saying, that's fair, Rice Sleazy. You listen to me for a year now. That's fair.
I work with you every day, 4 hours a day, and listen to your voice. I could have sworn it was you.
I mean, you've taken a couple of days off. But, yes, that was me.
And I tell you what, we were doing pre-show, and John Lopez ran in. And John Lopez doesn't run.
He did.
John Lopez ran into the room with us like, did you hear this audio of yourself?
Get in here and talk about it.
Do you want to come talk about it? Because we're going to talk about it. We're going to let you know, it wasn't the only ones, just us that thought, everybody thought that was Ron.
And I love the text line. Now Houston listeners are now texting in, show you know you're all about David Culley. Nope, see, now people are just going to run with it. He deserves it. Apparently, I sound like a former number one overall pick.
I know one thing. A lot of times people say that we look alike. Apparently, we all sound alike.
And we believe we sound alike.
And we believe it. Because if somebody would have bet me money, and I don't take sucker bets, but I would have lost that one because I'd be like, that's definitely Ron. Sounds just like him.
And Lord knows, Wade went on the hunt for it. Wade went for about 25 minutes to hunt down that audio.
We couldn't find it.
So, once again, I apologize to the Texans. But what is it? Building a Texan? Is that what they did?
Building
the Texans, man. You
episode
know
one. I haven't seen it.
It was 7 minutes. It was something worth your watch to watch it. And I think one of the things
was your biggest takeaway?
Well, my biggest takeaway.
I'm gonna interview you. What was your biggest takeaway?
My biggest takeaway, well, let's jump into it. There was no Jack Easterby. Oh. There was no Jack Easterby at all. And I'm not surprised, but this is what I was thinking about this last night anyway. I don't know how I got some rabbit hole of A-Rod, and I was watching this Kevin Hart documentary, and I'm like, that's the Texans need to do what A-Rod and Kevin Hart and Ellen are doing right now. And that is they are rehabilitating their reputation. They are trying to make changes. You know when people mess up, Wade, and they go and do the tour, and you used to sit on Oprah's couch, and you used to get an interview with Jim Gray.
You
got to
apologize.
Armin
Katayan
or Gary Miller. Who was that guy on Up Close? He used to, Ron somebody used to make people cry all the time. You get on. Tiger did his interview. I'm not saying that Jack Easterby did a bunch of females in Jupiter, Florida. I'm not comparing his transgressions to Tiger's. But what I'm saying is him just sitting down quiet is not working. If he's going to be here, which we are understanding that he's not going anywhere, I feel like they should at least attempt to make some sort of change the narrative on Jack Easterby's reputation tour. And it maybe starts with an interview with Mark Vandermeer and John Harris. Maybe he comes on with us, me, Wade, Clint, and apparently Keyshawn Johnson. Maybe he comes on and he sits down. I do think they need to do that, because if he's going to be here, as you talked about yesterday, it is a problem for some maybe free agents, coaches, people who want to come here because of the feeling that he pushes off, that he's running things in a negative light. You jump on the narrative like they're doing with Kevin Hart. He made a whole documentary to try to change things. Ellen comes on her show every day to try to act like she's not an asshat. They got to do things. And I'm not calling you an asshat, Jack, because I know you're listening. I'm not calling you that. But what I'm saying is, that's a thought. Change the way that you're attacking things.
And you know what? This is not the first time that I've heard this sentiment. But I don't know how you fix this. I don't know what the the steps you would need to take to get the Houston Texans fan base to say, you know what, Jack is all right with me. Based off of everything that they have.
I don't think that's going to happen.
I just don't see it being a realistic expectation. So I think what the Texans are doing is saying, hey, man, we're letting Nick Caserio do his job. We let David Culley do his job. We let the coaching staff do the job. Jack is going to do his job, whatever that is over there, and he's going to be off in the cut. Y'all not going to see me. You're not going to hear from me. I'm going to be out of sight, out of mind. And if I'm out of sight, out of mind, then maybe as time goes on, it will all blow over.
Maybe, but it appears that his presence is making it difficult for Nick to be able to do his job. And it appears that way. That's why he's picking from Mr. He Deserves It, David Culley, like picking in that avenue because he's making it difficult for him. I agree with you. I don't think right now if I threw this out, hey, Houston, do you think if you maybe heard more about Jack that you would feel better about him? No. But I do think around the league, if Jack is coming out, getting in front of this, doing a tour, maybe he sits down with some scripted questions with Jim Gray. Maybe he sits down with somebody and he knows what's coming. Maybe he goes on NFL Network and Good Morning Football. Those guys probably ask easy questions. Like he goes on and like maybe around the league, people may just say, well, maybe the Jack thing isn't as bad. Like maybe it's not as bad. Just like just a couple times, because that's what we've seen. That didn't Robbie Downey Jr. do that? Like somebody did somebody.
He's
like
Iron
that.
Man now.
Now he's Iron Man.
He's Iron Man.
Look, A-Rod. You tell me it can't be done. A-Rod was the biggest a-hole no one liked. And then all of a sudden he went on Shark Tank and he started dating Jennifer Lopez. Obviously, we can't do that for Jack. But he started dating Jennifer Lopez and it's completely looked at in a different light. We've got to start this tour. That should be the move for the Texans to at least make it easier for Nick to do his job.
But see, all of these examples you're giving, all of these people, all these celebrities, all these people that had to be reclamation projects, all these people were excellent at something they did before they fell astray.
That's a fantastic point.
And then they, you know, time passed, they did the apology tour, and then they became excellent again at what they did. And then people just said, all right, cool. You know, he was remorseful. We're going to forgive him and forgive and forget. But Jack Easterby, I mean, do we know what he's been excellent at with the Houston Texans? I have yet to see any evidence where he's excelled at anything. So I don't know. To me, it wouldn't make sense to try to put him in the category with some of these people that you're naming, because they were exceptionally talented at whatever they did. Every person you named has been number one in whatever they did. And he's not that. So just he has relationships with key people in an organization, and that's important. And so if he has the relationships, let him keep those relationships, but keep them off to the side, keep them behind closed doors, because the more he's out in public, I just don't see that working out well for him.
All right, we have to address, we'll continue with that, but we have to address potential devastating news for the Houston Astros. We'll discuss that coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Stoerner and the show.
Yes, yeah, some potential devastating news could be a real blow. As we talked about yesterday, Framber Valdez suffered a fractured finger. Here is Dusty Baker, the manager of the Astros, speaking about Framber Valdez's injury.
Just trying to make a decision on what we're going to do. It's swollen, so the swelling has to go down before we make any decisions. Oh, yeah, I mean, it's a real big deal. I mean, he was just coming into his own. You saw how he pitched last year. You saw how the progress that he made. And you saw how he pitched down the stretch. Yes, a tremendous blow. But, we're going to have to try to hopefully somebody in our system can come through like Framber did for us last year.
Lord have mercy. That's Dusty Baker. And the reason why this became really concerning, John Heyman, who was on with us last week, one of our MLB insiders. He said the initial recommendation for top young Astros starting pitcher Framber Valdez is surgery to repair his fractured ring finger, and the early belief is that could mean he'd miss the entire 2021 season. But the team is getting second opinions before they make any thoughts further. That's a bigger deal than what we were talking about yesterday with the thoughts of surgery, and surgery with rehab could be him missing the entire season. Wade,
yeah, looking at it yesterday, we were thinking maybe it'll delay his start to the season, yeah. And maybe he'll get a slow start, but you know, eventually he'd get back in there and be able to contribute. But it might cause them issues with trying to as far as seeding with some of the best teams in the American League. Now you're talking about Framber Valdez being potentially out for the season, and now you're hearing Dusty Baker talking about we're going to have to go to our farm system, go to bring in some of our developmental guys to see if we can get something out of them, kind of like we did last year in the shortened season. And that's what they did last year in the shortened season. You lose Verlander, and they just had a bunch of guys that they didn't know they were going to get anything out of them, Christian Javier, just guys that you didn't think going into that season that they were going to be what they were. Now you're back in that scenario, and that's not what you wanted. I mean, Framber Valdez, what he brought to the table last year was, like you said, he had number one guy stuff. He hadn't done it long enough for me to consider him a number one guy.
But
he had stuff, and he was coming into his own, like Dusty Baker says. So that's very unfortunate that this is even potentially a possibility. And he did it, you know, fielding the ground ball. Somebody hits a liner back at him, and kind of G thing about it to me is that he finished pitching that out, and he pitched a whole inning with a broken finger on his throwing hand.
Yep.
But, you know, hopefully the second opinion is some good news, but usually the first go round is usually what it ends up being. And so the Astros are going to have to get themselves prepared to figure out how to replace Framber Valdez in his production that he was planning on getting him for this 2021 season.
There are reports out that Framber Valdez may have to have surgery. That was the initial recommendation, according to John Heyman, which could result in him missing the entire 2021 season. 713-572-4610. Text that in. When you hear that, what's the word that comes to mind when you hear that Framber Valdez might have to have surgery and miss the season? For me, it's pissed. It pisses me right off as a sports fan. As Dusty was saying, he was coming into his own. Something clicked late last season with Framber Valdez. Like, he, in that postseason, and even down the stretch, he put it together. Like, I don't know, I'm sure in your career, you can probably, because every athlete that I've talked to about this can almost remember those moments, where it clicked, where you were like, oh, I can play this game at the highest level, and I can compete at a big time level.
Yeah.
There was some point where it clicked for him to the tune. He's 3-1 in the postseason, 24 innings, 26 strikeouts to 10 walks, and a 1.88 ERA. That's ace stuff in ace production in the biggest game.
Yeah. Against the best opponents.
Yes.
I mean, that's legit.
With pressure.
1.88 ERA. That's legit.
Yes. He had to go in and pitch with the season on the line against the Rays in game 6. And shut him down.
Mm-hmm.
Shut him. Like, that's big time. And so when you think about the confidence that he gets from that, and something clicked being put together, the excitement level of potential of what we could get to see this year from him, putting that all together, is potential greatness. And there's nothing more exciting for me to get to watch as a sports fan is potential greatness. And the potential that could be taken away really pisses me off. I really would have loved to seen that confidence come together with the, I got it. I got it, and I know what to do. And there's no moment in the regular season that's going to top game 6 with our season on the line, and I go down and I just shut down the Rays the way he did.
Yeah, man, it's unfortunate. It's unfortunate because if you're a Houston Astros fan, you feel like in some regards you've been snake bit. Think about Lance McCullers and the trajectory he was on, winning the World Series, 24 straight curveballs, I believe it was, And then now the following season, he has to have Tommy John surgery, and now you're missing. And he was really he was becoming bona fide, legit two starter in the rotation, and then you lose him for a bunch of time. And it's not the first time that they've had to deal with injuries, especially with young players. And so, but one thing I learned as somebody that played the game for a long time is that if you play, you're going to get hurt. That's just part of the deal. You're going to get hurt. And so all athletes understand that if you play and if you play long enough, eventually you're going to get hurt. So it's that next man up mentality. That means that whoever is in the bowl, whoever is that developmental pitcher or two that might not otherwise have the opportunity, they're going to get the opportunity now. You talked about Forrest Whitley yesterday. Forrest Whitley, this is a great opportunity for him to eventually, I mean, to finally step up and be who everybody thought he could be. And so you have to take advantage of your opportunities because you only get a certain amount of them before they run out, and you're no longer doing what you're no longer living out your dream. You're no longer playing at the professional level. And so somebody on this roster is going to have to step up and fill in and do a good job. And they have a history of that with the Astros of finding some guys that you otherwise didn't think you're going to get anything out of and getting some production. And so that's what you got to hope that they can do that once again. And I don't see them being able to go outside of the Astros organization to bring somebody in to replace Framber because, you know, what pieces do you have to do that with? I mean, you've done a bunch of sending guys away. You've had certain guys leave the organization just through free agency. So it's not like you have a bunch of bargaining chips to try to bring somebody in. And so, and there's not just that many guys that are on the market right now that you could just cut them a check and come replace them. So they're going to have to do it from within. And, hopefully they can figure it out.
Yeah, that's Wade Smith. He's in for Clint Sterner. Clint's out in on his honeymoon. But we sent Clint outright, and we are going to send J.J. Watt outright. Send him out the best way we possibly can. He's heading to Arizona and is in Arizona, by the way. And the best way we can send him out is by hooking him up with some free stuff, hooking you up with some free stuff. We got three autographed footballs by J.J. Watt that we want to hook our listeners up here at Sports Radio 610. Coming up tomorrow during Clint Sterner and the show, these are the times that you want to know. Between 4 and 4:15, we will give you a JJ code word. You need to be listening for that code word between 4 and 4:15, and then between 5 and 5:15, listen for the cue to be the fifth caller with the correct code word, and you will win an autographed JJ Watt football. And you just need to be listening at the right times between 4 and 4:15 to get the JJ code and between 5 and 5:15 to get the cue when to call. These are the two times you need to be paying attention and listening to tomorrow. So make sure you're listening and you can get a nice autographed Texans football of JJ Watt to put wherever it is you put your autographed football.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, man, that's a good little deal right there. Now, you can't get that anywhere else. You can't get an autographed J.J. Watt football just anywhere. And now that he's gone to Arizona, you're really not going to get any autographed Texans-branded anything. So, hey, make sure you tune in tomorrow. Friday is J.J. Watt Friday giveaway. Let's get it. I'm looking forward to seeing who's the winner.
Yeah, J.J. Watt farewell Friday. Be better with autographs than I am.
What do you mean by that?
You remember the Popeye's chicken sandwich thing? This was in my heavier days.
Are we really going there?
When the chicken sandwiches became a thing.
Yeah,
I was on the air and I hadn't had one, and every time I drove, it would just be packed in the drive-thru.
Yeah,
so I just hit up listeners and I said, "Look, I'm gonna give you all to 12 o'clock. The first person who brings up a Popeye's chicken sandwich, I'll give you an autographed Eric Berry Chiefs helmet." It was one of those miniature Chiefs helmets.
Yeah, yeah.
16 Popeye's chicken sandwiches later, I did hook up the first person with the Eric Berry autographed helmet. I kind of regret that.
So hold on, how many of them did you actually consume?
Coming up next. Listen, there. You don't want to.
Oh, no, so
you don't want to miss this because there's a report out about Nick Caserio and potentially what he was thinking when he first arrived on the scene as the Texans' new general manager. I'm telling you, it could shed some light on a lot of things. That's next.
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the show.
Apologize, Texans. I know that wasn't me. It's Keyshawn Johnson who said he deserves it.
He deserves it.
It was not me. Thought it was. Still feels like that was me. I want to read this to you, Wade Smith. Wade Smith in for Clint Sterner, who was out on his honeymoon still. This coming from a friend of Texans GM Nicholas Caserio. Nick realized quickly he signed up for a terrible situation. Oh, my. With the Texans. No ties to the area. Had so many better opportunities over the years. Bad ownership. Stop. Lack of draft capital. And only appeal the quarterback and money. Bet Nick is back in New England by 2023.
Wow.
There's a lot there. First off, let's jump that part off at the end. Do you think Nick Caserio is out of Houston, what is that, in 2 years?
I find it very, very hard to believe that he'd be gone in 2 years when you got a 6-year contract. To me, that doesn't make any sense.
Paid.
Yeah, I mean, and the way upper management, coaches, those are guaranteed contracts, not like players. You know, the whole honor the contract thing when it comes to coaches and in front office, they honor the contract. They might tell you don't come into work, but you're still getting paid the check. So why would Nick Caserio not try to see it out through the end, despite how challenging it may be initially? So that part, I don't believe that part at all, really. I mean, I just there would be no – unless
yeah,
it's
I don't
just,
either.
Unless you just – like, it doesn't strike me as somebody who would just give up and be like, nah, I'm out of here. I just don't see that part of it, I don't believe.
I don't either, but I'm curious your thoughts on this part where it says Nick realized quickly he signed up for a terrible situation. Do you think that – do you think Nick Caserio, 713-572-4610, you can hop in on this. Do you think Nick Caserio didn't realize that things would be to this depth or didn't even see that coming, that things would be to this depth?
I think it's very reasonable to think that he didn't realize how bad it was until he got here on ground at ground level. When he got his feet on the ground here in Houston and realized, wow, like you got to think about how bad things are where the Texans can put out a tweet or something on social media that has to do with doing things in the community, amazing things in the community, what the Texans have always done and continue to do through good times and bad times. You put a tweet out there, and every comment has to do with sell the franchise, fire Jack Easterby. That's all you're getting. And so maybe that's something he could have seen, you know, from afar, but realized that it wasn't until the day that he was announced as the GM of the Texans that Deshaun Watson let them know that he wanted to be traded. His camp let them know that he wanted to be traded. He officially put in a trade request that very day. We didn't know that at the time. We found out weeks later. But as soon as, like, what? Why would Nick Caserio think to himself, if they hire me, the most precious asset I have on the roster is going to want to leave right at that moment? Because if that was the case, maybe he would have second thoughts. Maybe he would say, oh, maybe I don't know if this is the right situation for me. And there's two ways you can look at it. Nick Caserio could look at it and say, okay, if I'm the reason that causes him to go, you know, if he knew this in advance and I'm going to be the reason that's going to make Deshaun want to leave, well, hey, there's opportunity for me here to build this thing from scratch. Some guys that are competitors, some guys that are built a certain way to say, hey, I'm going to do it my way and do it from the ground up, would look at it as a challenge. Other people might look at it and say, well, hell no, this is the reason why I'm coming here. I want to come here because Deshaun Watson is the quarterback. I got a guy that's ascending, 25 years old, playing at top five in the league, top three in the league right now. Of course I want to go there. I'm getting a 6-year deal. I'm around people that I'm comfortable with. So the fact that they're saying he didn't realize how terrible of a situation is, it doesn't surprise me, because he also strikes me as somebody that's about the work, that's about what's going on in the business, in the building. He's about figuring out and going through the processes and how to get the right pieces in here to build a championship program, a championship organization. That's his thought process. Him paying attention to SI articles, paying attention to things that are happening outside the building, people talking negatively about what's going on inside the building, I feel like he might be aware of it, but actually until you get there and you start trying to make moves and it's like, wait a minute, I'm not allowed to move this way because of something that's beyond my control. I'm not allowed to do this because, I mean, it wouldn't surprise me one bit if he was having any doubts about the decision that he made.
713-572-4610. Do you buy that Nick Caserio was kind of surprised how bad things were? And I look at it and I'm just, man, if you're taking this job, like, I'm not saying he should have been aware that his hiring would set the motion of Deshaun absolutely being done with the franchise and refusing to talk to anybody anymore. But I think he should have had at least a notion that things wasn't right, that there was some problems, because it was more than Deshaun. Like, I think he should have scoured those SI articles and really done his homework to check that out. So I don't think he should have been that blindsided, maybe to the point of, damn, I didn't know it was going to get this to the point where Deshaun would be just not talking to us. But he should have known there were some problems. And the one place that I will give Nick Caserio a pass on is, I don't think that Nick realized the Jack Easterby he was getting into.
Yeah.
The change of how Jack is. And I'm not saying that Jack is a completely different person than Nick dealt with, but Jack's positioning in New England was completely different than what it is here. And I think he wasn't, I don't know if Nick was understanding of how much influence and power he may have had. So he's dealing with a different Jack Easterby than I believe Nick Caserio thought he was going to be dealing with.
Yeah, I think about it. From Nick Caserio's position, Jack Easterby didn't alienate anybody in the Patriots organization. That was he was the opposite of that. He was somebody that guys could go to talk to, and he was kind of a bridge between the front office and the players. So for him to come here and believe that, and from all reports, Jack Easterby has alienated a bunch of players in that locker room, and that's a problem. So if that's the case, now you have to make a determination in advance that I'm hearing these rumblings, but these are concrete, true, and it's going to affect my starting quarterback, my franchise quarterback, to such a degree that he's going to want out. I find it very hard to believe that he would have that kind of foresight. He doesn't strike me as that to be built that way. You have to be like a really big picture, finesser, politician-like guy to see those chess moves three moves ahead like that. And he strikes me as a guy that's going to get in and do the work. You know what I mean? That's everything that I've gathered from him is he's that type of guy. And there's something to be said for that. And you have to remember, this situation is like no other. So you can't realize how bad it is until you're there. Like, if I tried to explain this situation to somebody outside of here, they'd be like, damn, is it really that bad? Like, these things really went like that.
But you think he takes things serious? Like, when you read the SI article and you hear there's a thought that anywhere from 80 to 90% of the players have trust issues with Jack Easterby. And then you understand how much power that he has. I mean, if you're Nick Caserio, isn't that a flashing red light to, hey, man, let me really dig into this. I know this is a good deal that they're paying me. And, you know, it's interesting they're making me the third highest paid general manager in the league, and I've never done it before. But let me really dig a little deeper into this, like, as red flags to go deeper than maybe you normally would.
Listen, you got to look at it. Bill O'Brien was the one in control, supposedly, right? He was, and everybody knows that Bill O'Brien is somebody that wants to have his hands in everything. He's going to micromanage a situation. So if you're Nick Caserio and you say, okay, I see a bunch of moves that they made down there that I wouldn't have done, and Jack Easterby is he was there with them, but it wasn't Jack Easterby's calls. This was Bill O'Brien's calls. And so I know what I can do. I know what Jack Easterby brings to the table, so I want him in the fold. Why would I believe all of these SI article sources of people? So because that's the nature of doing business. When you're in that building, there's going to be leaks. There's going to be people that say negative things, especially people that leave the organization, that are either sent away or leave the organization. So it's very easy for me to comprehend that he looked at that stuff and said, maybe some of this stuff is true, but I'm sure the majority of it isn't true. The Jack I know isn't the guy that they're describing.
That's the key.
And yep. So it's easy for you to say, because remember, at the initial press conference, Nick Caserio, when they asked him about Jack Easterby, the first thing he said was, he's done things for me personally that you just, like, he almost kind of started stammering around his speech. Because there's certain people that you come across in your life that are...
He has a special relationship with
you have a special relationship with these people that you're going to ride with them regardless. You would hope that the business would overtake that, but Jack Easterby has great relationships with key people in the organization. So he's going to be here. I find it hard to believe that Nick Caserio knew that because of that, it was going to lead to Deshaun Watson wanting out, J.J. Watt wanting out. So much negative backlash that has come. And so with any situation, you're going to have doubts. That doesn't mean you're going to give up or quit, you're going to have doubts. And so when I hear this, it makes sense that he's kind of second guess, like, dang, maybe I bit off a little bit more than I could chew.
So, Wade, as we're talking here about how much did Nick Caserio, you know, would you buy that he was caught off guard with how bad things were? Would you say, Wade, that maybe there wasn't enough information out there for him to get to know that it was even a possibility that a guy like J.J. would want out, a guy like Jamie Roots would want out, a guy like Deshaun would want out? Like, do you think there was enough information for him to find out about?
He would have had to have taken a leap of faith in believing people that he doesn't know as opposed to believing somebody that he does.
Yeah, that's his
and
guy.
So that's very difficult for me to put that onus on him and say, yeah, I'm going to believe, because there's certain people that you have a special relationship with that if somebody's saying something negative about them, you're going to listen to them first. Or you're a terrible friend. You know what I mean? Like, if you're going to listen to somebody that's outside the circle before you listen to somebody within the circle, that's a problem on you. But now when you have so many different avenues coming from so many different angles, you have to try to get to the bottom of it and say, like, what's really going on here? But I think it was an absolute surprise that Deshaun Watson wanted to be traded, because it was an absolute surprise to everybody else. Like, there was nobody that anticipated when Deshaun Watson gave his press conference at the end of the season when he was talking about there needs to be a culture shift, and he was talking about how him and Kyle had conversations with one another and we were looking forward to bringing somebody here that's going to be a leader that we can follow and all of that type of stuff. Nobody thought after that, oh, man, I hope they get this right, because Deshaun's going to leave if not. And so why would you expect Nick Caserio to understand that that's what's going to be the result?
And Nick probably wasn't privy to conversations that Deshaun had with Cal McNair.
Exactly.
And not knowing that.
Exactly. Think about it. Think about it.
He had told him.
Jack and Cal got on a plane and went to go get Nick. Are they going to tell him everything that is wrong with the situation? Or are you going to sell him to try to get him to come into the situation? I mean, anybody that is in sales, you sell a product. If you're going to sell a product, are you going to say everything that's wrong with the product that you're selling, or are you going to give all the positive things about it? And you might mention the little things that you got to work through, but you're not going to just really – do you want to close the deal or not?
Yeah.
And so don't you think, Jack, you should be wanting to close that deal? Because apparently it was going to be Omar Khan. If he didn't close that deal, Omar Khan was going to be the GM. He was going to be out the door. So, of course, he's going to tell him what he needs to hear to get him to come here.
And I think the argument on the other side is – yeah, you would tell me what you need to tell me to close the deal, but I should probably also know everything I need to know if I'm going to agree with the deal. Derwin, ain't heard from you in a minute, man. What's your thoughts on this conversation? Go ahead, Derwin.
Man, first of all, we're acting like this thing wasn't put in place 2 years ago. Nick Caserio has always been the plan. They've talked about it from day one. You can't tell me that Nick Caserio's ass and sat over there with the Patriots for 20 years with Tom Brady, the GOAT, the best quarterback of all time, and you tell me that man's going to come down here and take a job and not even have a phone call with Deshaun Watson? Those guys were never, ever concerned about what the fans were going to think, about what anybody else is going to think, because they've got their plan. And when they go out and hire David Culley, Gully, whatever, I can't even tell you if it's a C or a G.
It's
but when you go out and hire a coach that is not qualified to run an organization, it tells me that they have a bigger plan that nobody else is talking about. I don't know if it's Tom Brady coming to be the coach next year or whoever, but just like they did not hire a GM when they fired Gain because they knew that Nick Caserio was already going to be the GM, I'm telling you, they did not hire a qualified coach because the plan is to get whoever this coach is that they're looking for, he's not available to next year. And I don't know who that is or what it is, but this is not over.
It's deeper than rap. That's what it sounds like you're telling me.
Yeah, yeah. And listen, anything that there is no with the Texans right now and what the evidence they've given us, there is nothing that is too far-fetched. 2 years before, maybe David Culley is like Kyle Van Noy and only gets 1 year at the job and they replace him. Because I'm with you because I thought it was going to be Josh McCown in a couple of years, but don't know what the hell is going on there.
So if that's the case, if Derwin is on to something there, then that tells me that Nick Caserio knew very well along what was going to happen, and he didn't mind that. He was good with the scenario in front of him, which means Deshaun Watson for sure is going to get traded because that's part of him building it up from scratch. Because you can't build it from scratch with Deshaun Watson sitting to the side and you knew that you were going to just sit him to the side all along. That doesn't make any sense at all. Now, what makes sense to me is if they said to themselves, hey, based off of how things have gotten so bad with the lack of draft capital, the lack of money, bad contracts, older players that we need to get out of here and move on from, the way that we can build this from scratch is utilize Deshaun Watson and send him away and get a haul of picks in advance, in return, and then now we can build this and it'll be done our way. That makes sense to me.
And see, that's why I think
I completely disagree with it.
Yes.
But it makes sense to me.
But I'm on a space that I've always felt, I don't know if Nick is surprised. Like, I'm one that believe that Nick's involved in the plan, that Nick is going along with the plan. I don't necessarily believe, like, as tight as him and Jack are,
yeah,
the agent situation, I don't believe this is Cal and Jack working, and then Nick is not on the same page with them. So
you think that, because based off of what Derwin said, it was going to be Caserio all along, and that has been thrown out there. So throughout these bad moves by Bill O'Brien, Nick Caserio was aware of what was going to happen.
No, I mean, since Nick has got here, I'm not necessarily saying that this isn't a plan that Nick's a part of. I think since he's been hired,
yeah.
I'm not necessarily one to think he hasn't been a part of all this or he just disagreed with some of this stuff and he's been made to do it. I think he's a part of whatever their plan is. He's a part of it. All right, coming up, real potential devastating news for the Houston Astros. We'll break it down to you and give you the latest on what's going on with, I would argue, their most important player. That's next.
Nick Corsi.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game.
the MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.